arī rāda, ka Čāri Jostu tās otrs īsi mātis vainkrējas. Īsi baktūrnes uz mērā ārsīm praupā ka Čāri. Ananta kultivājuši nav rindi ka Čāri. Krantar ārsīm pakotām ka Čāri. Kūr premirandi arī būt. Dāma veida vakta vindi ka Čāri. Ātlūris uz anglūties. Ātlūris uz anglūties. Ātlūris uz anglūties. Ātlūris ikurantar anglūties. Shima Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 4th chapter, text 4. Evam. Evam. Lata. Varo. Naityo. Piprat. Temamayam. Vapu. Bhagavati. Akarot,
akarot.
Tvesham,
tvesham.
Pratur,
pratur.
Vadham,
vadham.
Anusmaram,
anusmaram.
Evam lapto varo tajyo.
Evam lapto varo tajyo.
Evam lapto varo tajyo.
Evam lapto varo tajyo.
Vipratema mayam vapu.
Vipratema mayam vapu.
Vipratema mayam vapu.
Vipratema mayam vapu.
Bhagavati akarot tvesham.
Bhagavati akarot tvesham.
Bhagavati akarot tvesham.
Bhagavati akarot tvesham.
Ratur vadam anusmaram.
Ratur vadam anusmaram.
Ratur vadam anusmaram. Evam lapto varo dajyo.
Evam lapto varo dajyo.
Evam lapto varo dajyo.
Evam lapto varo dajyo.
Vibrate mayam vapu.
Vibrate mayam vapu.
Bhagavati akaro tvesham.
Bhagavati akaro tvesham.
Praturvadam anusmaram.
Praturvadam anusmaram.
Evam labdha varo daityo.
Evam labdha varo daityo.
Vibrate mayam vapu.
Vibrate mayam vapu.
Bhagavati akaro dvesham.
Bhagavati akaro dvesham.
Bratulvadham anusmaram.
Bratulvadham anusmaram.
Evam labdha varo daityo.
Evam labdha varo daityo.
Vibrate mayam vapu.
Vibrate mayam vapu.
Bhagavati akaro dvesham.
Bhagavati akaro dvesham.
Bratulvadham anusmaram.
Bratulvadham anusmaram.
Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
Yes.
Laptavara. having obtained his desire boon. Having obtained his desire boon.
Having obtained his desire boon.
Daitya,
Daitya,
Hiranyakashipu. Bibrat, acquiring. Hema mayam,
Hema mayam.
Possessing the luster of gold.
Possessing the luster of gold.
Bahu,
Bahu,
the body. Bhagavati,
Bhagavati,
unto Lord Vishnu,
the
Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akarot, maintained. Tvesham, envy. Pratuvadum, the killing of his brother. Anusmaram,
always thinking of.
Translation of Purport by Sivakarisa Prabhupada Vijaya. The demon Hiranyakashipu, having thus been blessed by Lord Brahma and having acquired a lustrous golden body, continued to remember the death of his brother, and therefore be envious of Lord Vishnu. Or he envies Lord Vishnu. Demoniac person, in spite of acquiring all the opulences possible to obtain in this universe, continues to be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wir machen das mit dir, André. Wir haben drei Sprachen hier. Deutsch, Kroatisch und Englisch und Russisch. Vier eigentlich.
Ich muss dazu sagen, ich verstehe es, aber nicht ganz. Alle Vokabeln habe ich nicht.
Ja, du kannst ja nicht auch noch Deutsch und Russisch.
Wenn er etwas nicht versteht, dann mag ich sagen.
Oh ja, es ist schon
geklärt. Ja. Okay, sehr gut. Und Nataji, du verstehst Englisch? Auch nicht. Oder so halb. Gut, ein Ohr da und ein Ohr. Und dann gibt es eine Übersetzung. Dann bricht der Körper gehen. Und Translation. The demon Hiranyakashipu, having thus been blessed by Lord Brahma and having acquired a lustrous golden body, continued to remember the death of his brother, and therefore he continues to be envious of Lord Vishnu. And the purport is like Krishna Prabhupada, the demoniac person, in spite of acquiring all the opulences possible to obtain in this universe, continues to be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Hiranyakashipu is one of the original or Adi Asuras, original Asuras, demons in this universe. Actually, the Asuras and the demigods, the Devas, they come from the same father. He has a demigod, Kashyapa Muni. And Kashyapa Muni had two main wives. One was known as Diti, therefore, and the other one was known as Aditi. And the demigods became the sons of Aditi, so therefore they became known in Sanskrit as Adaitya. Adaitya means the sons of Aditi, demigods, or devas. And the asuras, because they were born from Diti, therefore this whole family of the asuras in the Diti line, they are known as Daitya. Therefore here the Sanskrit word is Daitya.
Daityo.
The first line, last word is Daitya. So the demons in the Sanskrit are known as Daitya, sometimes as Danavas, sometimes as Asura. Actually it's the same group. In the Bhagavad Gita and also in the Pada Purana, there's a description that there are two groups or two kinds of mentalities in this universe. Dvabhuta Sarva Lokesmi Sura Asura Eva Cha Vishnu Bhakta Smito Daiva Asura Stat Viparaya. So these two mentalities are the, known as Suras and the Asura. Dvabhuta Sarva Lokesmi Sura Asura. The Suras, the Devas. Another name in Sanskrit of the Devas is Sura. And those who are against the Suras or the Devas, they are known as Asuras. So there are two kinds of mentality, Sura and Asura. It's like a dark night, because we are in the world of duality. So there's natural day and night, good and bad. High and low, and so on. It's a duality, male and female. So everything, the whole material world is a duality. And therefore, there are also naturally there are two kinds of dualities. Those who are in the light, those who are more Vishnu Bhakta, inclined to devotion to Vishnu or Krishna, God-conscious people, they are known as Devas, or Suras, and those who are against Viparaya, those who are always fighting against the Devas, or become envious of the Lord, and also the Devas, the devotees, they are known as Asura. So Hiranyakashipu, he is the descendant of a deity, so therefore he is a Daitya. The original Daitya. Actually, there were two brothers. Two brothers. One is Hiranyakashipu, and the other one was Hiranyaksha. Actually, twin brothers, in one sense. Two-eyed twins. They didn't look exactly the same. Zwei-eyige Zwillinge, sagt man denen. Then one came a little earlier, and the other one came a little later. And the one who took birth later is known as the older brother. And contrary in our calculation, if the child who comes out first, if they are twins, comes out first, then he's the older. But actually the older one is the one who comes last, because the last one was perceived first. Understand? So that he was perceived first, therefore he's actually older, because he's longer already in the womb of the mother. The birth doesn't start by the birth that the embryo comes out of the body. That's actually not the real birth. The birth is already starting in the body by the perceiving of the soul with the ovum and the semen of the father and mother. If these come together, then according to one's karma, a soul takes birth and starts to grow there. And after the 7th month, the soul becomes conscious about his identity, about his situation, that he is tied up in this womb. And the pious soul prays to God oh please God, relieve me, I promise you, if you relieve me from this body, or from this back of my mother, if I can come out, then I will become your devotee. That's described in the third canto by Lord Kapiladev. Actually, most of the souls is described that pray like that. Because the soul, as long as it stays in the womb of the body, of the mother, it is completely pure. The consciousness is pure of every soul. And it can even remember many, many lifetimes back. Only due to the painful situation or how say experience of taking birth, the soul, because of the suffering condition, forgets these promises and his prayer to God. Please save me. Please get me out of here. I will become your devotee. Of course, some may remember and become devotional or God-conscious from the beginning on. They also are born in a certain family or circumstances where God-consciousness naturally is cultivated and is naturally devoted. And others, then naturally, if they take birth, they become averse against everything good. They just want to destroy and do harm and do bad to everything. Already from very, very small childhood on, they can become very demoniac in one sense, you can say. But the interesting thing here now is Hiranyakashipu, although he was a demon by birth, he had a son. And his name was Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad, he was from birth practically a devotee. Because when Hiranyakashipu performed austerity in the hills, in Mantaracharan mountain, he performed severe austerity, standing on one leg for many, many years. And without eating and without drinking. Some yogis also do this kind of a tapasya. And with the purpose to fulfill their aims of life or their desires materially, or also some kind of spiritual, maybe liberation or siddhi, mystical perfections or material wealth and comfort. Actually, Hiranyakashipu means somebody who is very much attached to comfort and to wealth, money. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means cushion, or soft beds. So a materialist is actually very much inclined to these two things, to have a comfortable lifestyle, and to have a lot of money. So therefore his name appropriately was Hiranya Kashipu. He was very much into these material things. Only his aim in life. Therefore, even when he performed tapasya, he didn't perform tapasya for attaining Krishna, because the tapasya, what we spoke yesterday, to attain Krishna, this tapa of panchakarma, is not the tapa of the materialistic yogi. The tapa of a materialist or somebody who wants to gain material desires and perform tapasya or some yoga, severe yogic exercises, some tantric yoga. This is called palgu vairagya or palgu tapasya. It is not needed. It is actually very strenuous for the body, because the body suffers because of that. One dries practically out. Because like in Hiranyakashipu's case, he didn't drink, not eating. In the end, he was practically not even breathing anymore. He maintained his life force inside of his bones. Because his body became more and more skinny and skinny and skinny, and then he was only a skeleton. But he didn't die. He was still alive. Just imagine, that shows actually that we are not this body. The life force is the real life. You can even live in the skeleton if you know the art. So he knew the art, you know, because his whole body became eaten up by the ants, because he was covered by an anthill. If you stay for 1,000 years on one leg, in that age, it was possible to perform yoga, tapasya for hundreds and thousands of years. Like we know, Vishwamitra Muni, he performed austerity for 60,000 years. And still, he could not attain Krishna. Krishna, 60,000 years austerity. At one point, Menaka came, a heavenly prostitute, an apsara, heavenly society girl. Actually, prostitute is not the appropriate name. It's a society girl, apsara, who gives enjoyment, you know, to the high society in the heavenly realms of the devas. So she came. And she allured Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra, he just left his tapasya just by hearing the ringing of her ankle bells of this heavenly society girl. She was very beautiful, very attractive. So he gave up his meditation. And he conceived a daughter, a child in her, Rumenaka, who became known as Shakuntala, who later on was grown up in the woods, because both parts of the parents didn't want to take responsibility for the child, so they left the child in the forest, and therefore the forest entities, like the deers and the rabbits and all these forest animals, they took care of the small child so that it will not starve. Therefore, it grew up in this forest. Therefore, her name was Shakuntala. She was grown up in the forest. Of course, one sage took her, adopted her, and grew her up in his ashram. But that's another story. So, the Hiranyakashipu, the point was by meditation, severe meditation, without attaining, without Krishna as goal. Without the Trita Vrata, to attain Krishna, to serve Krishna, Natevi to Svata Katimhi Vishnu, to Rasa Bahir Atamanina, Andhaya Upaniyamanas, Episha Tantra, Urudhamnivada. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, he says that those who have no interest in the Vishnu Kati, to attain Vishnu, who don't have God or Krishna as goal in life. And they're following some kind of leader in this world. But because this leader has no sense control, and he doesn't know the goal, the highest goal himself, he doesn't know the goal of life, and the follower also is blind, the leader is blind, so what is the result? They will go in straight away, but they don't know that here it's finished, you know, it's end of the road, end of the piece, and they go over it, like some ski drivers nowadays. They go up to the mountains, and they drive and drive, and then they don't see that there's an end, and then they go, boom, out of it. Because they go in places where one should not drive. So in the same way, life, material life, and also spiritual life, we need leadership. But we need visionary, we need leader who has vision, who knows the goal of life. If a leader doesn't know the goal of life, then he should not be a leader. He should not be guru, he should not become father, mother, teacher, husband and wife even. Lord Rishabhadev says, Guru na sasyat, na chanina sasyat, pitana sasyat, We should not become either of these things, authority. Because not even a deva, a demigod. Because to become an authority means you have to deliver your dependents from the cycle of birth and death. Or at least lead them on the proper path to the light. Tamasima Jyotigama. Come out of the darkness and come to the light. That's the mission. That's the purpose of an authority. But if we follow a blind leader, or a leader who doesn't know the goal of life, who surrender to Krishna, Sharanagati, then what will be the result? Tamishra, under Tamishra, and the falling down in the hellish condition of life. Adanta Kubir, Vishatam Tamishram, Punak Punak Charvita Charvananam. And they're going on, chewing the Jew again and again, because they don't learn from their experiences. They don't learn from lessons from authorities, they don't accept lessons or can't learn lessons from authority or by their own experiences, and also not a mixture of both. Atirna Krishne Paratapsatova Ridobri Pivadeta Krihavratanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Punapuna Charvita Charanam. It's also a verse from Prahlad Maharaj, the son of Hiranyakashipu. You see, he's completely different than the father. The father was completely ignorant. He was only inclined in materialistic sense gratification and tapasya for material gain. But the devotee was not at all into the tapasya. Because Narad Muni, his guru, he told once, if you cannot attain Krishna by tapasya, what's the use by tapasya? And if you can attain tapasya, if you can attain Krishna without tapasya, what is the use of tapasya? So the tapasya is actually meant to attain Krishna. Tapodivam, this is called tapodivam or yukta vairagya. Rupa Goswami says, prapancha tataya adya. Hari Sambande Vastuna Humukshavi Parityago Vairakam Palgu Katyate. Those who have sense gratification as aim of their tapasya or yoga or knowledge, they're actually Palgu Vairagis or Palgu. Not very good. The Yukta Vairagya is engaging his senses, his words, his body, his possessions and his mind in the service of Krishna. Ihayasya hariya dasye karma no manso gira nikhila pivasasu jiva mukta suchate. And such a person, such a devotee, is already liberated in the body. Because his mind, his senses, his works, his possessions are all engaged in Krishna's service. So his jiva mukta. But the Palgu Vairagya, who is performing austerities or studying knowledge, even Vedic knowledge, people are not completely foolish. They're not ignorant. They're very clever. They know scripture. Hitler also, he wanted to study scripture. Nazis in Germany, they knew Veda have a big knowledge. So therefore they sent some Indologists and scientists, Sanskritologist to India to find out about Vedic scripture, but not for a good purpose. Swastika, what the Nazis used, it was not used for a good purpose. It was used for the contrary, to harm, to bad for people. So that you can use everything in this world, you know, in a good way or in a bad way. Right, Bala? Like a knife. A knife, you can cut your daily bread, but you can also kill your brother. With the same knife. So it depends on your mentality, how you use the knife. It also depends on education. From very young age, you know, one has to learn how to use the material world. Ishavasya Nidam Sarvam. Everything belongs to Krishna, and Krishna has given all living entities, and also all human beings, a certain
karma, the certain things that you can use. But if you use and accept more than you need, if you become over greedy for material possessions, then you become pramata. Unam pramata kurutevi karma yad intriapritaya aprinoti nasatumanye yad aponoyam asana viklesheta asateha. Rishabhadev also says, now if you become mad for sense gratification, then you lose all interest, you know, for spiritual emancipation or elevation to God consciousness. Therefore, the devotee should very much be careful in association of materialistic association and not imitating those whose only aims were practically or quasi mad only for sense gratification. So therefore a devotee, he knows, he can accept Vedic knowledge from the giving by a teacher, by a guru, and is using it in his life in a proper way. But if you accept Vedic knowledge, and this Vedic knowledge, the tapasya is also a process, yoga is a process, there are different kinds of mystic yoga, karma is different kinds of karma processes. But if you use them not for the purpose to please Krishna or to attain Vishnu, then you just practically harm yourself and harm others. It doesn't help to surrender. Like if you give money to a fool, what he's doing, he just wastes it. It just harms himself and others with his money. And if you give money to a person who knows about it, then he will also, he knows how to do something good with his money. So it's a kind of a mentality. So when a materialistic person doesn't want to learn, even if he has proper understanding, proper teachings, proper experiences, but he doesn't want to change himself, he doesn't want to have a changing heart, well, because he's too much driven by false ego. Demoniac lifestyles, general material lifestyle is false ego. It's built up on false ego, identification with material body, and our possessions around it, surrounding. So as long material lifestyle is based on false ego, without proper understanding that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna, we always have to go through different kinds of sufferings, birth after birth, life after life. And in this life and in the next life, it will not be very nice. Of course, sometimes materialists cannot see that because he thinks, yeah, I'm enjoying now. I'm well. I'm okay. He doesn't see this huge. Hirani Kashipu, he performs severe austerity, performing his severe yoga exercises, tapasya. And he even attracted Brahma, the chief of the demigods, and he asked Hiranyakashipu, what do you want? Hiranyakashipu told him, I want to become immortal. A materialist, everyone wants to become immortal. Nowadays we can see people become very proud because they say the man becomes older nowadays than in previous time. And by the mercy of scientists and the doctors and the researchers, we can become even more than 100 years old in the future. So maybe in the long time we can become 200 years old. In the long time we don't have to die anymore with the physical body. So the point is, we are so much afraid of dying process because out of ignorance we think this is the only life. So why should we be afraid of changing the body if we know that life is eternal? Of course, we have to be afraid of changing the body if we are rascal and very sinful, then maybe your future will not be very good. I don't want to church. Maybe they cannot even have a good life, but sooner or but still in the material world and has to stay in one body and another. That means when he's still in cage. But the devotee, he wants to solve this problem to take bird again and again, because he knows that the bird, even as a demigod or an asura or as a human being or an animal, it's a mixture of some enjoyment and also suffering, and in the end actually more suffering than enjoyment. So better I make the best bargain of a bad deal, and I learn how to surrender to Krishna. Therefore, if some thoughtful person actually is fortunate, he meets the Spiritual Master. Brahmande, Brahmite, Kone Bhagyavaniji, Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai, Bhakti Lata Beach, and he becomes, by the mercy of Krishna Guru, the Bhakti. The Bhakti Beach, the seed of Bhakti, implanted in the heart by initiation, by Diksha. So that's the purpose that we had yesterday, this Diksha. That's the initiation. It means by the mercy of Krishna, through the medium of the Spiritual Master, the seed will be implanted in the heart. So now we have to learn how to cultivate the seed by becoming devotee. We already practice devotee service, devotional service. So now we should continue. It's not the beginning, it's just continuation. Don't give it up. Be Trithavrata, not Krihavrata. Although we can be Grihastha, but still we have to be Krishna. I have to have Krishna in the center. Therefore, install Krishna in your home as a center. Have daily worship, chant your rounds, offer food to Krishna, chant the holy name, and create a clean and Krishna conscious atmosphere in your home. And also in your heart, of course. Because Kapar is also a temple, therefore we mark the body with a tilak in 12 places. The body is a temple of Vishnu or Krishna. And our house also can become a temple. Therefore keep it always clean, the body clean, your circumstances, surrounding clean. And learn how to surrender to the process of Krishna consciousness, Bhagavata Dharma, especially the process given by the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. These two books are most important for the Vaishnavas. Two Bhagavad Katha or Krishna Katha. One is Bhagavad Gita, spoken by Krishna himself. Another one is Bhagavatam, spoken by the devotees of Krishna. Like Shukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami, Narada Muni, Siddha Vyasadeva. They're all great devotees, great personalities. They're not God themselves, but they're liberated persons. And although, like Narada Muni or Shukadeva, they were already liberated, especially Shukadeva, but he had, since birth, only an inclination to serve Krishna. So this is great Sukriti, because out of Sukriti, of past pious activities, devotional activities, we can get in one lifetime opportunity to come in contact with the pure process of Bhakti Yoga. And therefore a devotee naturally develops good qualities, the ornaments of a sadhu. Ornaments of sadhu is the Dikshava. For example, is tolerant like Haridas Thakur, although he went through so many sufferings. Prahlad Maharaj, he was so tolerant, the son of Hiranyakashipu. There's so many devotees, also Jesus Christ, Prabhupada, use him as example. He was very tolerant. They give him so much trouble. But he tolerated and still prayed for the benefit, that God will give them mercy and forgive them for that what they do. So therefore, the devotee naturally is Didikshava, he's tolerant. Karunika, he's merciful, he's compassionate. Therefore, he's naturally likes to share Krishna consciousness with others, helping others by giving them knowledge. Either by speaking about it, or by giving a book, or by giving Krishna Prasadam, the holy name. So, therefore that's naturally for a devotee is Karunika. Suridam Sarabhutanam is very friendly to all living entities, not only to your God brothers and God sisters, or to your friends. Don't make party spirit. Don't try to see all living entities, try to be friendly. Of course, with some you cannot make friends. With a snake, you cannot make friends. Or with a scorpion. There's a story. Once there was a man, he met a scorpion. And the scorpion called to him, please bring me over this river here. Because I cannot swim. Scorpions are not good swimmers, as we know. So, please bring me over on the other side of the river. But the man said, you know, you think I'm stupid? You think I don't know who you are? What is your nature? You're a scorpion. You will pick me with your thorn, and then I'm finished. And the scorpion, he tells to the man, you know, you think I'm so stupid? What's the use if I will pick you, if you swim over and then I pick you, and I cannot swim, you will drown, then I will drown with you. No? So the man told, you know, that's actually logical. Okay. So he accepted the scorpion on his back, and he started to swim over. And then in the middle, you know, the scorpion picked him. I knew it! You will pick me! And the scorpion, he thought, sorry, what can I do? It is my nature. And then all of them went down, you know. That's a story, yeah? You heard about it? That's a scorpion, so yeah, it's a real. Prabhupada told this story, you know. It's so far out. Just a scorpion, never trust a scorpion or a snake. Maybe we hear sometimes, you know, some devotees that could play with a snake. Nityananda Prabhu. Or there was one associate of Nityananda, Chaitanya Das. He could play with snakes, you know. They could play with snakes, but because, you know, they were purely transcendental. But we should not think, oh, Nityananda, Chaitanya Das, Murari Chaitanya and others. No, they played with snake. So let me also play with the snake. Especially poison one. Of course, they are innocent ones. But if you have a poisonous snake, a venomous snake, now with the fangs in it, don't trust. No. Even if you give her milk, what will happen if you give a snake milk? Yeah, it increases the poison. And the poison become increased. He will never become peaceful. He will not become your friend by feeding a snake with milk. Therefore, even a devotee is happy if a snake and a demon is killed. One time his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Prabhupada was visiting him in Chaitanya Math, in Mayapur, headquarter of Gaudiya Math, that time, in Mayapur. Near Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. Actually, it was previously the house of Sri Chandrasekhar, the uncle of Lord Chaitanya. That place is Chaitanya Math. And Srila Prabhupada also visited his Guru Maharaj there. There he saw that how his Guru Maharaj, he told there was one snake, poisonous snake. The Guru told the Brahmachari disciple, kill it. Brahmachari immediately took a stick, ready to smash the snake. And then when Bhaktisiddhanta saw he wanted to kill him, he told, no, don't kill. The body is friendly to all living entities. Brahmachari, even with, not without speculating, so why you first tell me kill, then you tell me to not kill. So he threw the stick away. And then Bhaktisiddhanta, as soon as he threw the stick away, he told, take the stick and kill him. And the Brahmachari, no, without doubting Guru's instruction, he took the stick and he killed the snake. In the Prabhupada, he was just Grihastha at that time, he was not very much better the first time, only very beginning time of being in association with devotees. He thought, what's that? how a guru can tell his disciple to kill a living entity? He could not understand. So he carried this doubt with him. And then later on, you know, he came home, he opened Srimad Bhagavatam, and then he read one from 7th canto, where Prahlad Maharaj says, no, even the great saintly persons, they become very happy if a demon, scorpio, and snake is killed. So that he became pacified because he understood Shastra approves that it's not a sin. Don't get karma. Of course, if you unnecessarily kill all snakes because you think all snakes are now bad, so let me destroy all snakes of the entire universe. Like the son of Parikshit Maharaj. Son of Parikshit Maharaj. What was his name? Janamachaya. Janamachaya. Because his father, now after 7 days, he was cursed by Brahmana that after 7 days he will become killed by a snake. You know, by a snake bird. So he became. And after this snake bird appeared from the sky, flying, biting his father, Parikshit, then he took a vow. I will arrange a yagya, and I will arrange that all the snakes of the whole universe will become destroyed, will be burned in this fire. Yeah, such a rat. He was so much angry, you know. He wanted really to kill all the snakes in the whole universe. So he engaged one powerful brahmana in the yagya, and all the snakes from the universe, you know, they were drowning in it. And he was calling all the names of the different leaders of the snake and offered them to the fire. Tataksha, Swaha. That's another one. Blind King, what was his name? From Bhagavad Gita?
Dhritarashtra.
Yeah, one snake was also known as Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, Swaha, and the offer oblations, and then all these snakes, they fell in, you know. But then when he was calling the mantra of Tadaksha Svaha, because Tadaksha, who was actually the snake who killed Parikshit Maharaj, he knew about that, this Tadaksha, and he took shelter by Indra. So Indra was faithful, the regular friends, he got blessings. Even if the yagya, even if they call you down to the yagya to become burned, that will save you. The mantra will not work on you. And that actually happened, so his life was saved. But all other snakes practically was burned, but then one sage came to the yagya arena And he told Janamajaya, hey son, please stop. King, stop. Stop this yagya immediately. The snake, Sarpa yagya is it called. Sarpa yagya, to kill all the sarpas or envious snakes in the universe. Don't kill, because it's not your duty as a devotee king, as a saintly king, to destroy all the snake, because you are not God. God has created all living entities. No? And you should, and the only one snake was the purpose of the death of your father. Therefore, why you have to kill all? No, please stop it. No, therefore, then he stopped. Dhruva Maharaj also. Dhruva Maharaj became so angry because his brother was killed by Yaksha in the Himalayas. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was a devotee. No, he actually was a devotee. By heart, although he was not completely realized in that time. So he was realized after at that time. At that point he was not realized, but then later on he got darshan of Vishnu or Krishna, and he became completely purified. But still, when he heard that his brother was killed by Yaksha, he became so angry that he went to the Himalayas, to the capital of the Yakshas. And he wanted to kill all the Yakshas there. He took the vow, I will kill all Yakshas. Therefore, Yaksha Pati, Kuvera is the charge for the Yakshas, is the treasurer of the demigods. Yakshas are very loyal to him, very surrendered to him. Because although Yakshas, in one sense, they are, have some good inclination, good guys amongst them, but in general, they're very, how is that man, link. You cannot trust the Yaksha. They cannot trust him. He is very easily to be bribed or to do harm to others because they have mystic powers. Kuvera, he gave them somehow the responsibility to become in charge of the treasury, to protect. And because, you know, he gave the Yakshas the faith or the trust in this service, no one could enter this place. One time on Sankirtana, recently, 2 weeks ago, I met one lady. She told me that she took care of about 12 children. She accepted from all the families, take care for some years or some time. Especially families who had some problem with the child, when the child was maybe had a problem itself. And there was one child, one boy. He was a kleptoman. He liked to steal. And he always something disappeared in the house. And then one, but somehow she never became angry. She never chastised him. She only always gave him service and attention. And one time she told him, you know, from today on, you will be in charge for all my ornaments. All my ornaments, you are in charge. For the money, for my watch, for my necklaces, for my rings, all these things you are in charge. The husband, when he heard about her, he told her, you're crazy, you're bitch. You cannot trust this boy. He steals all the time. And she thought, oh no, he will not steal anything. He will not, he will. And she was right. Because she gave him the faith, the trust in him. Now this boy, 3-4 times a day, always went to look, to watch, that everything was there. Not even the father, that means the husband of her, could go there to take everything, you know. He was so much, protecting the place. And he came out good, you know. He didn't steal anymore since that time. And in this way, from this story, I got the realization that these yakshas. They got really the faith, the service from Yaksharaj, from Kumara, who was a demigod, but yakshas are not demigods, they are some kind of semi entities. So they have inclination to do bad and also do some good things. So, but because he gave them faith, his trust, then since that time in the Himalayas near the Shiva's realm, what's it called? Kailash. Because Kailash region actually belongs to Kuvera. And because Shiva is a good friend of Kuvera, Kuvera told Shiva, I give you mountain here, Kailash, that's yours. And that this Alakanandi river or valley, this is actually protected by the Kuvera's servants, the yakshas. But because the brother of Dhruva went there without except getting permission from the yakshas, they went to this kingdom of the yakshas of Kuvera without permission to hunt there. And because most probably he didn't want to listen to them, so there was a fight, and they killed him. So now Dhruva, he thought, okay, I have to revenge, because this blood revenge is very deep in some cultures, as we know, especially in the tribal cultures. If you kill a brother or a relative in your family, the only thing to solve is blood revenge. It means the one who killed has to be killed. No, otherwise I will kill myself. Even if I have to kill myself, but I have to revenge my brother. So Dhruva also told like that. But then, because he was a devotee, Kuvera approached the boss of the yakshas, approached Dhruva and told, my dear son, please kill all the yakshas, because only one of them killed your brother. So don't harm. No, don't become peaceful. Be devotee, because devotee is Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. He's friendly to all living entities. Show your devotional quality. Don't be an enemy now. Don't kill. Cooperate with me and with God's law and direction. And don't become egoistic now and do what you have in your mind and not just to revenge. Because that's a demoniac quality. Demons, they only want to revenge all the time. A devotee should not make revenge. He should be peaceful, shanti, shanta. Bhakta is actually shanta. And he's friendly to all living entities. And he is ashata shatru. It means his enemy. Animosity is never born in his mind or in his heart. So he never becomes enemy. He's always friendly. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj is Ajata Shatru. Not a name for him. Because he was always very friendly to all living entities, even to his enemies. So that even his enemies try to do harm to him. Harm or anger or envy or revenge was never appearing in his mind. That's devotee. By Krishna's grace, he gives the devotee the power to develop these saintly qualities. But the demon cannot have saintly quality. In the Bhagavad Gita 16.4, it is stated that there are six qualities of demons. One is Dampa, is very bright. Therefore, the devotee should not be bright. Dampa. Brightness is as we heard yesterday, it destroys actually all four regulative principles. It destroys dharma. It destroys the original qualities in the living entity. What takes place in the material world. And for the devotee naturally is humble, clean out of his nature now. Then Dharpa is the second quality of a demon, is arrogant. He's very much arrogant in his behavior, in his present, in sein Auftritt. And if he comes, you know, he's not very much cooperative with everyone because he thinks himself so much great, out of a false ego. Then he is Abhimana. He's very conceitful, very trickery, very he likes to trick and to cheat. And Krodha, he's always or very easily to become angry or wrathful, become very angry. And this anger of a demon cannot become pacified, not by mantra, not by tantra, not by giving him money, not by bribing him. And if you try to pacify an envious or an angry or a wrathful demon, it's some kind of a gift. Then it's the same as feeding a poisonous snake with milk. So Chanakya Pandit, what he says? Paya Panam Uchanganam Kevalam Visha Vahanam Upadesha Himurkanam Prakapaya Ashantaye. When the snakes drink milk, then his venous poison, the poison is increasing. It's still poisonous. You should not think, now the snake milk, then her saliva will become milky. No, poison is still there. Still dangerous. Similarly, a good instruction, upadesha. If you give upadesha to a murkha, Murkha means a fool, dumbkopf, a fool and rascal. Murkha. So if you give a murkha a good advice or a upadesh, or a kind of a blessing, then instead that he will become friend to you or become thankful to you, he becomes more agitated. His envy and his anger is more increasing. And therefore, Prakapaya na shantaye, shanti. He can never feel peace in the heart. He never becomes satisfied. He never becomes peaceful in himself. Because he always has this unlimited greed about more. Not only one blessing, he's not thankful that what he gets. So because he has this so much wrath in himself. Hiranyakashipu, very good example. He was so wrathful of because Vishnu, he killed his brother, his younger brother, Hiranyaksha, Parahadev appeared and he killed him. So he had always this in mind, I have to revenge Vishnu, I have to revenge my brother's death, I have to kill this Vishnu. By killing Vishnu, I first have to kill all the dharma, the cows, the sainted persons. I have to eliminate them from this whole universe. So he conquered the whole universe, and he gave so much trouble. He took even the seat or the throne of Indra, that you will hear tomorrow's verse. So he conquered everything. But that was only the beginning. The ultimate thing was actually he wanted to kill Vishnu. And he thought, because Vishnu is nourished, maintained by the Brahmana culture, so if I kill the Brahmanas and the sainted persons, then Vishnu automatically is also finished. So therefore the demons, what they do, they don't want to kill God himself, they first want to kill that what is connection with God, God's culture, God's religion. And this we see in Kali Yuga. The pure religion is unknown nowadays, everything is motivated, polluted, mixed. half truth. And half truth is worse than the no truth. Because you give the people some kind of knowledge, but it's not real knowledge. Actually, you're cheating them. And for half truth or half knowledge, worse than no knowledge. Better stay ignorant than have half knowledge. If you are interested in the knowledge, educate yourself properly. Therefore, we are here in Krishna consciousness. Get a proper education. Prepare yourself for this Brahminical initiation. Become qualified. Learn the Brahmana test. And then accept the second initiation. It's for your good. It's not because I'm forcing you. No, it's for your good. Because if the teacher is not telling you this, then you think, yes, anyway. It's very merciful and everything is so easy. I can get finally now after 15 years, I can get it so easy. No, endeavor for it. Because if you can endeavor for something, you can also appreciate it. Of course, teacher or Krishna can give you something for free, or easily give you everything. But if you cannot appreciate it, if you cannot appreciate the value of that, of the knowledge what you got, you will at one point throw it out. Throw it away. Because you cannot appreciate, you will forget. Therefore, one thing is, if you receive knowledge, if you cultivate knowledge, you also have to live this knowledge. You have to live this knowledge of Krishna consciousness and turn it into vijnana, in realization. Apply it in your life. Extension with others. Austausch mit anderen Leuten. Therefore preaching is very important. Or some exchange of Vaishnava thoughts, of knowledge. Because in this way, the knowledge that is theoretically, by speaking about it, it becomes realized. And you don't have to be a Brahmana for that. In Lord Chaitanya's movement, anyone can participate. You can be a Kshatriya, a Kshatrini, or a Vaishya, or a Vaishnavini, Vaishini, or you can be a Shudra, or a Shudranini, or even a Mlecha, or a Yavana from the past. Doesn't matter. If you come in contact with Krishna, you are not anymore this or that and that. We are not this body. We are Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. We are eternal servant of Krishna and his most dear servants. Clear. So it's very important that you realize this, that you accept this knowledge, and use it as a daily in your as a guideline in your daily life. Devotees should not stay ignorant. Prabhupada wanted that devotees learn. Therefore, he gave us so many books. What do you think? Why Prabhupada appeared? He came because of bringing the books. His knowledge. He was heavy loaded with his knowledge. If we as followers then not use these books and apply it in our life to save ourselves first and then also help others to become saved or bring them on the way, then the Prabhupada came for nothing. So this is our duty. This is our must, to return that what Guru has given to you. Guru gives you something. As a return, you should also give something. And the best thing that you can give him is not money or glory. All glories to you. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Gurudev, Anibal, nice to see you. Like one time Prabhupada told one disciple, he thought, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. And he quoted all kinds of verses glorifying Guru. Then Prabhupada stopped and he told him, what is your with your Jai Prabhupada? Jai Prabhupada. Better bring me my slippers. It's better you do some service. Or then Krishna Balaram Mandir. Prabhupada went every day in morning walk. And he always advises devotees, you should always keep everything around Krishna Balaram Mandir clean. And Prabhupada was always very punctual. He went out, certain time in the morning walk, and after the walk, so many devotees followed him. There was also this one devotee, particular devotee, he recited glorifications versus Prabhupada, about Guru and Guru Maharaj and so. So Prabhupada also stopped in front of him with a stick and told him, you see this there on the floor, so much dirt there. Better you clean that, you know, and you're reciting these verses. So that's that means Prabhupada, he wanted not just a cheap glorification, jai this and jai that. He wanted to have this service attitude of the disciple. That he knows this knowledge, to read Prabhupada's books in the daily matter as a habit, Bhagavad Gita, and other books, especially as an act of devotion, should study now a second initiate, if you want to become second initiated. Learn this science of bhakti, because we are Rupa Nuga, followers of Rupa Goswami. Learn this science, apply it in your life. Don't stay stupid. Don't hide yourself. And think, oh, I'm stupid, I'm not, or I'm too simple to this knowledge, I cannot understand. No, we have to understand, because otherwise, sooner or later, we will give it up. Don't have to become pandit or big scholar, but learn at least something. So, sannyasa is not so difficult. Just do it, and you will see, you will become happy by doing it. Even old men, nowadays, you know, I heard 80, 90 year old people that go to university, make a course there, to study. So who is 90 years old now, or 80, or 70 even? Even 60. Nadu, how old you are?
55.
Me also. One day older than me.
Yes, sir.
So that means you still have time to apply it. Put something. Don't put only cow dung in your head. Put also some knowledge in your head. Don't take a person. It's only, you know, it's possible. The knowledge is here. And there's one verse I want to give you on the way. Yasya devi para bhaktir. Atadeve Tatagura Guru Tasyartika Ata Prakashante Mahatmana. To the surrendered devotee, who surrendered to the instruction of the spiritual master, all the, and who has also simultaneously faith in Krishna, Yasya Devi Para Bhakti Yata Guru Tatagura, that you simultaneously have faith in Guru and Krishna, not just faith in Guru and not in Krishna. Not just in Krishna, not in Guru. Both has to go parallel, have to have faith in both. Yasya prasada bhagava prasada, yasya prasada nakatika topi, by mercy of Krishna you get Guru, by mercy of Guru Krishna. So it goes hand in hand. So if you have simultaneously faith in Guru and Krishna, all the Vedic knowledge will become revealed in your heart. Easy. Krishna will give you intelligence to understand. What Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? Tesham evan khampatam aham jnana chamtama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dipena ashvataha. To those who are surrendered unto me, I will give them the intelligence and the knowledge how they can come to me. So, therefore we have this purification process. If your heart and consciousness become purified by chanting, then you become also inclined actually to study Srila Prabhupada's books, and if you want also to speak others about it, go to sanghas, speaking with devotees about it. And what is the result by studying and discussing about Krishna's Srila Prabhupada's or Krishna Katha? You will become tushti, you become first of all satisfied, and ramante, you become happy. And what else you want to have in life? You can have the whole world, the whole universe, But if you have no pushti and ramante, what's the use? You will never become happy. You can become the richest person, the multi-billionaire in this world. You can become the most knowledgeable person. You can become the most renowned person. You can become be the most beautiful person. Miss Universe or Mr. Universe nowadays even have. What's the use? If your body is not ornamented with love to Krishna, you will not be satisfied. Your satisfaction is temporary because the body will get older, it will become diseased, and at one point it will die. Although we like to prolong it nowadays by hanging the body on a machine, like the former president of Israel, people don't know anymore. He's not dead. He's in coma. Just imagine, he's in coma since 2 years. Sharon, he's not dead. People have forgotten. But I was looking in the Wikipedia, because I wondered, you see, I never heard about him. He died now? No, he's still in coma. Now they put him in a hospital where coma patients are lying. Imagine such a life, you know. He was a president, you know, in Israel, you know. And then he fell in this coma, you know, and he's still there. So this is suffering, because he's still alive. Of course, he's always alive, but if you have to alive on the machine, that means coma. He already would be dead. They keep him in coma with machines. Even for 2-3 years now, I don't know how long he will be in coma. It's a long time. Of course, maybe sometimes coma people come awake after 18 years even. They come back to consciousness. After 18 years. They wake up, you know. Oh, here I am again. So, but ultimately, you know, life, when you keep a long and healthy life, as long as possible, but in Krishna consciousness, in knowledge about Krishna. Don't increase your demoniac quality, because the demoniac quality is already here. Dampa, Dharpa, Abhimana, Krodha, Paurusha is the fifth one. Harshness, the very harsh. Demonic quality is very harsh. Very cruel. They have no mercy. And Agyana, ignorance. They're very much ignorant. Krishna Prema, Rupa, can you look there in German this conceit?
The
sixth
one.
That's number three. Selbstgefälligkeit. Selbstgefälligkeit means it's very much, it's another word in English. That means they enjoy themselves, they very much enjoy their outfit, their presentation, and their qualities, material qualities, their prestige, name, fame, and glory. I think that's pratishtha. They're very much into fame, into pratishtha, fame and glory. And do everything, you know, to make a show that people will like you. It sounds familiar, no? In this material world, to all of us. So the devotee develops, the devotee qualities, as given in the Bhagavad Gita also, in the 16th chapter, devotee qualities, you should study that. And there are devotee qualities. Third canto, there are devotee qualities. Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are 26 Vaishnava qualities. You can study Nectar of Devotion, also Vaishnava qualities, and sadhana is described. So don't cultivate this demonic quality further. we already here in this material world, picking of these qualities. Now we should drive in determination to purify our heart and consciousness to accept this devotee culture, devotional culture. And never trust your mind, never trust naturalistic, demoniac association, because they're like snakes, you cannot trust. That's also Chanakya Pandit. Sarpa, Krura, Kala, Krura, Sarpa, Kura, Tara, Kala, Mantra, Ushadi, Vasa, Sarpa, Kala, Kena, Divaryate. Snakes and wicked men, you can never trust. Even if you give them knowledge, even if you give them some nice presents or nice blessings, instead that they will become your friend, or become peaceful, no, they become more worse. It increases. The poisonous increase. A snake you can pacify by mantra aushadi. Mantra means aushadi, mantra means by mantras, by certain hymns, snake mantras. There's Sarpa Shastra in India, Sarpa Shastra. Some of the gopis also knew the science of Sarpa Shastra, certain how to charm snakes. As one of the main gopis who was, she was expert in charming snake. I'm not sure which one. Oh. I think it's not Chitra. Chitra or one of the Astasakis. Because all the Astasakis, you should not think they were just cowherd girls, gopis, who were just milking cows, you know, and carrying waters on their heads, no? And cooking like that. Every one of them was completely expert, you know, in a certain field of Vedic knowledge. Veda branches, there are 64 Vedic branches of knowledge, in music, dancing. Tunga Vidya, for example, she was very much expert in Vedic music, ragas, dancing. Other ones were very good one of them was good in charming snakes. Or to bring, curing people, by giving them certain herbs from the forest. She knows all the herbs in the forest. They know about herbology, astrology, about this and that Vedic field. So they were not fooled. They were not just simple cowherd girls. In one sense, they were simple, but every one of them was expert in a certain Vedic field, according to their quality and inclination. And everything, all the qualities that the Rajabhasis have, they're not proud on it. They engage it in the service of Radha Krishna. That's the thing. Don't use astrology, knowledge, or this Vedic knowledge for your own ego, for your increasement of your name, fame, and glory. Do it in the service of Krishna. Some of the gopis of this Astasakhi, they had messengers, and some of the Astasakhis were also messengers themselves. They're called in Sanskrit dutya. A duta or a duti is a messenger. It's a messenger either from Krishna's side or from Radha's side, to bring messages to each other, how Radha and Krishna can come together. So what is the quality of a devotee? Bring Radha and Krishna together. Bring Lakshmi and Raina together. Bring Sita and Ram together. What is demoniac quality? Separate them. Krishna will kill or remove or Vishnu. And Lakshmi we take and enjoy. Sita we take. Ravana, he had no interest in Ram. He thought Ram is just a human being, I will kill him. I'm Rakshasa, I hate these humans. I will kill him. And he took Sita, because she was very attractive, very beautiful, very charming, And Ravana thought, yes, I want to take her as one of my wives. That's the morning quality. They want to separate the energy of Krishna, Krishna's enjoying energy, and enjoy it for themselves. But the world equality in Goloka, in the spiritual world, is to do everything for the favor of Krishna. Engaging everything in Krishna service. This is Nirbanda Krishna Sambandhi Yuktam Varagya Uchati. Rupa Goswami says, this is real renunciation. This is Yukta Varagya. And who should take the example of Krishna's eternal associates, take the examples of Krishna's acharyas, who are also his eternal associates, who come to this world to reveal to us Krishna and his knowledge about Krishna, who link us practically with Krishna, with Sambandha. So use this opportunity. Don't waste it. Don't throw it away. Don't stay in ignorance. Come to knowledge. Come to the light. Come to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you have no chance, you know, to become accepted as one of Krishna, as one of in the party of Krishna's family, or in Krishna's in one of Krishna's parties in Goloka. So we have to realize this knowledge and develop this and already practice it in this life. And the best way how to practice it is to associate with devotees. So a snake or can be charmed by mantra, aushadi, and by herbs and mantras, but a demon not. No. If you try to charm a demon with a demoniac person who is very much agitated with mantra and herbs, no, he will become more angry. He will become your enemy. Like Ritrasura got worship Shiva. But instead of getting blessing from Shiva to do good for people, he wanted to harm everyone. Everyone who he touched with his head. No, not Ritra. Rikasura. So everyone he touches with his head should explode. And then Shiva, although he didn't like to give this blessing, is good enough. And his Ashutosh is also very favorably inclined to these fallen persons. He gave blessing, okay, so be it. And then this demon, what he wanted to do? He wanted to test first the blessing Shiva has given on Shiva's own head. Just imagine. My Prabhupada gave a story once. He was on the bank of the Ganga, taking bath. With the help of disciples, he was very old because the bank is sometimes very high and the water is low, and then he had to climb up like a little hill. And he was old, so he had to accept help after taking bath in the Ganga. His disciple helped him to come up to the platform in Mayapur. And then when Prabhupada was up, he gave him a kick. And disciple didn't know what Prabhupada wanted to tell me. Then Prabhupada told, this is my vada, this is demoniac quality. Guru helps you. Guru helps you. I would say to come up to a certain platform. But then if you are on the platform, you give him a kick. So I don't need you anymore. So this is thanklessness. Thanklessness. So, but the devotee should be thankful. So, this Ritrasura, he was very thankless because he got the blessing of Shiva, but instead he tried to touch Shiva's head. But in Shiva, he could not save himself from his own blessing, so he had to take shelter by Lord Vishnu. And then Vishnu protected him. And Vishnu told to this Asura, I don't believe that Shiva has such a kind of shakti or power that somebody's head is exploding. That was just a trick by him. That's just words. And if you don't believe me, why don't try it out on your own head? And then he touched his own head, his demon, and then boom! they explode. So ultimately they kill themselves. So demons never can become friendly, never become satisfied. Duryodhana also, his life was saved by the Pandavas in exile from the Gandharvas. But then in the end, you know, he could not give up his envy to the Pandavas. He still became envious again. He became occupied by evil spirits and again attacked. Became even more worse enemy of the Pandavas. So that's the line. Therefore, devotee, we should try to learn from these stories, from these lessons. Don't become Purna Mushika Bhava, otherwise we'll become again a mouse. You know the story, the mouse or rat went to the sage, oh, I'm in problem, a cat is behind me, please save me, please protect me, please give me shelter. And the sage said, okay, what do you want? I want to become a cat. Okay, become a cat. Then the cat, after some time, came back again. What do you want? Sage asked. What do you want? Oh, lion is behind me. Oh, what can I do for you? I want to become a lion. Okay, become a lion. And then the lion opened the mouth, ready to swallow the sage. Sage asked, you want to swallow me? Ah, okay, Purna Mushika Bhava, become a mouse again. So, you can, by blessing, you can become elevated, but if you cannot appreciate the blessing and become thankful, then become mouse again, become rascal again. So, this is our choice, our chance. Therefore, use it and make the best out of it. Don't give up the process, be enthusiastic. Develop Vaishnava quality by association with Vaishnavas, by reading, studying, and hearing about Vaishnava literature. Chant the holy name, and also give sharing with others this process, then your life will become perfect. Hare Krishna. So, maybe some questions?
I have a question in the same way as realization for the last few days. When I went in Sankirtan, so the question is, can we trust to a dog like in this story with the snake? My realization is I went to, in Sankirtan on the houses, you know, mainly every house has a dog. And the last time when I was in that house, this dog is looking very dangerous, I didn't go inside. But this year, when I came again, I decided I had to go inside because I gave them prasadam. And I was on this side of the wall, dog was over the line. And he starts barking on me. It was a big one, like for a sheep keeper. And then I look at him, but I have many experience before with dogs, because in Spirit, in every second house has a dog, second flat in the... then I look at him and just tell him, yeah, Krishna, you're good, I'm your
dog.
Some kind of... I pacified him with eyes.
And, with eyes?
Yeah, I'm just looking at him.
You wanted to charm him.
I'm just looking in his eyes. And he became peaceful. He just go away in a corner and sit down. And I say, well, I trust to Guru, to Krishna, I go inside. Then I go inside and go, actually two houses in one garden. First, first door, the
and
little
behind
girl.
The back, he can't.
Not yet, no. First, little girl come out and I give them prasadam. He take, dog was peaceful, everything was full. But then I saw this also the house of grandmother down there, and I decide I have also to go down to his old lady to give prasadam. Dog was peaceful, but then I start to walk, and what's happened? It was a nut. It's a little nut on the way, you know. And I step on with my hand, and it's a little bit crack. It's make a little sound, and then dog, boom. started that they grabbed me for my trousers. They trousers destroyed my trousers, not my hair. I was lucky, not my foot. But I stopped for a second. This girl was outside. I asked, what should we do now? I have to go down. I wait for a few seconds. A dog just ripped my trousers and go away, back. I continue to the old lady and drink. I say, hello, I give you some prasadam. He came out, he say, are you crazy? What are you doing here? We have a big dog. How you can enter in the door? I say, oh, I'm friend with all dog. I'm friendly. I'm friend. They are my friends. You know, I had to be some elevated. I say, I'm friendly. I say, okay, now what you are doing? I'm selling this. Okay, here is a donation. I take it. But you never try to do this again. You know, then told me what happened just one day before this. He said, you know what happened yesterday? You are really lucky today. Yesterday, our neighbor, who is coming every day to drink coffee with us, this dog attacked him, he jumped on his neck. Can you imagine? And you survive. It is not impossible. How is this possible? So can we trust the dogs? Do you have any experience in something with the dogs? Because now I'm a little bit reserved.
Scared.
Yeah, a little bit reserved with the dogs. So many dogs in Split.
That's difficult because they're very whimsical. They easily can become agitated. As you see, first with the crack of this Nazi, they don't know, and then they come.
Afraid.
Especially house to house. Previously I did it because I also had no fear of dogs. I was growing up with dogs. But also one time, our first dog, what we had, she was very old, female. She was very old. And if the dogs are old, they become more easily agitated, very vengeful. I was a child at that time, so she even bit me as a child. But from house to house, one time one dog bite me. But the problem is, I actually don't go house to house anymore nowadays because I don't like this dog. Because they always met, even if it, not because of afraid of bite, but they always put their nose on you. They smell on your charges. And then you go other places, then they have dog, then they start, and then attracts others, you know. Because then you start to smell of the dog after some time. Of course, in your place, maybe it's difficult because you have to go house to house. And every second one has a dog there. I think it's an exception. It was an exception that this dog was so heavy. Not everyone has such big dogs. No?
Yeah.
So if you see some dog like him is there, I will not enter. But most probably also have to write about it outside.
Don't go.
Go next. Not all dogs are so big. And you never know what can happen. Especially these big things, smaller ones, they're nothing. They bark, but dogs who bark, they don't bite. Yeah?
Kann ich die Frage auf Deutsch stellen?
Ja.
Wenn ich dich richtig verstehe, kann ein Dämon gar nicht Krishna bewusst werden.
No exception. There's exceptions. He can.
Okay.
If he gives up his demonic quality. Because it's a mentality. Understand? If you develop a demonic quality, is also cultivated. Even maybe after many lifetimes. But by association with devotee, demonic quality can be changed. That's possible. You can read this in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There are four kinds of Dushkritina, That means rascals, not devotee, who don't surrender to Krishna. And there's a nice purpa by Prabhupada, quite long, and he writes about asuras. Maybe Krishna Prema Rupa, you can see this in the towards the end, because asura is the last one. There's four kinds of dushkritina. There he writes that even an asura, demon, rarely can also become devotee if he comes in contact or gets the mercy of the devotee. You see this in the end? Can you read this? Maybe this sentence? No, it's in the end of the purport. Just about this asura. Rarely an asura also can get.
Wie sie alle oben beschrieben werden, ergeben sich also trotz aller Ratschläge der Schriften und Autoritäten niemals in Gottes Füße der Persönlichkeit Gottes.
Vielleicht weiter oben noch.
Was ist das?
Nicht gefunden.
Und das ist doch Ausnahmefälle gibt.
Ha?
Dass es Ausnahmefälle gibt.
Ja, dass es Ausnahmefälle gibt. Ausnahmefälle, dass ein Dämon auch gereinigt werden kann durch Gemeinschaft mit Devoten.
Ein Naradaham, der selbst in der persönlichen Gott zurückgewiesen wird, kann also nur durch die Barmherzigkeit eines Gottgeweihten ein stürzendes Bewusstsein wieder.
Der Naradaham. Ja, auch der Asura. Anyway, you can read this purport, so you will see. It's definitely stated there. Other question?
Tomorrow we are speaking between us in Srimad Bhagavatam. I read that we accept transcendental knowledge from left ear. Yeah? And many devotees said to me that this is true.
Ah, that's in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah. But now I don't understand it, why we get mantra set from right ear.
Because it's the right ear is the region where the devas are situated. Deva holds this of hearing. So Gayatri mantras, because they are Vedic mantras, you receive from through the right ear. Therefore we also put the Brahmant right. If you go on WC or in bathroom, we put it around two times in the right ear. This way it stays pure. Right? Because it's the place where the devas are residing. Hold it, Puchari? Right?
And this Gayatri mantra is
Devas
mantra?
Yeah, Devas also mantra. It's a transcendental mantra, but it's because it's Vedic mantra, it comes from the Vedic culture. So you hear the Vedic message through the right ear. Although it's the ear in the Bhagavatam state that the right ear is for fruitive activity, karma kandya, in the four kanto, in the Puranjana story. And the left ear is for transcendental sounds. I also had this. I also wanted, but then I heard this, and I read this also. That we receive mantra, so we don't have to doubt. Guru tells you why you have to doubt. Likewise, the desire to have the Dala Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to kill the snake. And if you tell him not to kill, he threw away, immediately followed. So this is the discipline of disciple, he follows order of guru. Of course, don't be afraid, guru will not tell you to kill someone. But at least this instruction, what you receive, this you should accept. Of course you can doubt, but if you have a doubt, then you can ask questions. As long as Guru is alive, you can always ask. And if he's not around, no, then you can ask him what to see in your devotee. And if you don't get an answer, and just accept it like that, wait, go on with the process, and then with the time, it will become revealed to you. It will become clear.
In my mind, I often have a problem because I have a garden, and when I work there, when I dig, I always have to. There are so many living entities, so sometimes I have to maybe kill somebody, and then I always feel bad about this. So.
Yeah, here would be now in the Vedic culture, because as a Grihastha, or somebody who you live in your own house and not be a renunciate, a sannyasi who is always traveling. Actually, everyone is doing some kind of karma, but especially Grihastha, by cooking, by gardening, even by breathing, by fire, by walking, you kill maybe consciously or unconsciously some insects or harm some living entity. Therefore there's a pancha karma in the Vedic literature. But this is not for devotee. Prabhupada said, devotee don't have to perform pancha karma. That means five kinds of yajna. Pleasing the debts or the insults to some kind of living entities. Like we have debts to the forefathers, we have debts to the devas, we have debts to the sages, we have debts to the ordinary living entity. Devashi putam, what's the verse? Devarishi putam, Devashi putam, pitrinam, napinkaronaya, Prini characham, sarvatmanoyam, charanam charanyam, kato mukunda parivita katam. So this Srimad Bhagavatam states, if you become devotee of Krishna, then you are not indebted anymore to panchakarma. That means you don't have to perform certain rituals or yajnas for pacifying the demigods, or the sages, or the forefathers, or your own parents, or relatives, or animals, or plants. Just by feeding, or putting water to the roots of the tree, the whole tree becomes nourished. But if you put water on the branches of the tree, but you don't sprinkle water on the root, then the tree will die. So therefore the process is to please Vishnu. Krishna is the root, the mula of all existence, the root. And so by pleasing watering Vishnu Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti, by pouring water on this bhakti plant, then Vishnu will become satisfied by it. The whole tree of life will on this way become nourished. Therefore, the Lord is known as Vishvambhar, is the maintainer of the universe. Lord Chaitanya and also Krishna, they're both Vishvambhar. Vishva means universe, and Ambara means the mother, or the one who is nourishing the child, breastfeeding the milk, you know, the child with the milk. So this is Amba is a mother. So therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm the mother and the father, Pita and Mata, and the friend of all living entities. So he's Vishvambhar, so he's a maintainer of all living entities. So he also maintains you, he maintains everyone. He also maintains all the insects and animals. But if a human being is knowingly killed, then they get heavy karma. They get sooner or later some heavy karma for that. But if a devotee unknowingly kills, but he chants Hare Krishna, he's engaged in devotional service, he offers his food, that what you earn in the garden, the ernte, you offer to Vishnu or to Krishna, then this is akarma, that has no reaction. Therefore, for this kind of activity, even if you kill by gardening, you will not get reaction because you're a devotee, you chant, you serve Krishna, you offer all these products in the garden to Krishna. So, but that's actually in this way, all the living entities are benefited in your garden. So don't be afraid. Gut, dann wir stoppen now. Hare Krishna. Grantarashi Bhagavatam Gita.
Se lo rinne tutto per un piccolo.